This is News in No Time. Ed Gordon on today's roundtable. No vote of confidence for Jefferson, and a court ruling says no knock has some concerned. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. We'll discuss those topics and more with Joe Davidson. He's an editor at the Washington Post. He joins us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C. Also with us, Republican strategist Tara Settmeyer. She's at member station WLRN in Miami, Florida. And from Spotland Productions in Nashville, Tennessee, Jeff Obafemi-Carr. He's the host of the radio program Freestyle, heard down there in that area. Before I get started, I should note in the interview that we just did with Dr. Satcher, he mentioned Judge Mathis. And I realize now that maybe everyone isn't familiar with daytime television. That, of course, is Judge Greg Mathis, who has a successful television courtroom program on air. And we should note the Detroit native, by his own admission, was a little street thug as he came up in life, turned his life around, became a judge, and now a television star. And as Dr. Satcher said, had been misdiagnosed often and luckily found a judge who gave him a second chance. And he was able to turn his life around. And that, as Dr. Satcher says, is happening far too often, particularly with African-American males. Now, with that clarification, we'll go on to what we're going to talk about in the roundtable. First up, folks, and that is that we saw House Democrats vote 99-58 yesterday to strip Representative William Jefferson of his committee assignment, that with the powerful Ways and Means Committee. This all around swirling accusations in the federal bribery investigation as it runs its course. And this in the face of the fact that William Jefferson, Joe Davidson, continues to assert his innocence, and we should note the Congressional Black Caucus has been very boisterous in their defense of not necessarily Jefferson, but the actions of the Democratic Party, suggesting that this is an unprecedented move and that they should give him the benefit of the doubt until the investigation runs its course.
Well, that's right. In fact, Congressional Black Caucus Chairman Mel Watt has said that there's neither precedent nor rule for this, and that and Congressman Watt worried out loud that that black constituents around the country will say that there is a different standard in the Democratic caucus based on race. Interestingly enough, though, he went on to say that none of us are saying that. I'm not saying that. So in some ways, he's kind of sending on the other hand, kind of a message here. But I think it does raise some legitimate questions of how is everyone being treated fairly? Is everyone being held to the same standard? If there is no rule nor precedent, as Watt says, for this to happen, why is it happening now? Why was Congressman Jefferson's office the first office to be searched by the FBI, something that Republicans and Democrats have argued vigorously against? And so I think Mel Watt is right. I think there will be black communities, black people around the country who will question whether or not this is the imposition of a double standard.
Jeff, here's what's interesting. We saw House Democratic leader, Representative Nancy Pelosi, really lead this fight from that position. As she has said, and many people are saying that the Democrats are using this as political fodder against Republicans, she has said that this action isn't about proof in court. This is about an ethical standard, and that they wish that the White House, they being Democrats, would follow their lead in this. Interesting coming from a Democrat.
Interesting coming from anybody out of Washington to talk about ethical behavior in the times that we live in. I don't think that there has ever been a time in history where we associated ethical behavior with most of Washington. And that's on both sides of the party in all the branches, especially in the executive branch and the legislative branch. This issue kind of disturbs me because, one, we're supposed to be innocent till proven guilty. It's not the job of Congress to conduct personal monkey trials on personal ethics. That's the job of law enforcement and the courts. They find the criminals, build a case, prosecute, and then they punish according to the law. And if Congress wants to be effective, they should worry about the law. Jefferson basically politically has been carried up the mountain and laid on the altar of perceived political gain, and the knife is in the air. And I don't think there's a ram in the bush in this situation. And even if they were, the utter bloodlust for political gain on both sides with Democrats and Republicans is so strong that anybody will be sacrificed for the greater good of political control.
All right, Tara, take your Republican hat off for a moment and just be a political strategist, if you will. There are stories that some Democrats had gone to Jefferson to say, step aside voluntarily. If you're cleared, it'll be much easier to step back up. Should he have done that?
I think so. He's similar to what Congressman Mollahan in West Virginia did. That's the congressman who is accused of profiting from business deals in West Virginia because of his congressional positions. He stepped aside from the Ethics Committee because he recognized that this may not be in the Democratic caucus' best interest to have someone who's under questionable, but nothing illegal, just questionable ethical practice. Maybe I should step aside so they can't use this as a political weapon against me. In this case, with Congressman Jefferson, it's a little more egregious. It's a federal bribery case. And I think what happens is, outside of Washington, the average person does not recognize whether they're being treated fairly. Is it because of race? It's very easy to throw race in this as a diversionary tactic to take away from the federal bribery case. We discussed last week whether Representative Jefferson had a national profile. And no, he didn't before this. But the average voter can identify with an elected official taking money as a bribe, allegedly, as opposed to whether he's being treated fairly because of his race, whether this has been precedented or not. I think that's a diversionary tactic by the Black Caucus, because they know that by substituting the issue, it softens the blow slightly. So should Jefferson and the Democratic leadership is looking at this and saying, look, we're coming into a tough fight in the fall elections. Step aside gracefully. And if, in fact, you are proven innocent, yes, you can come back into the fold. It's a relatively safe Democratic district. But you will muster up outrage by people when you seem so defiant. And I think it's a misstep by Congressman Jefferson. And I think that the Congressional Black Caucus is wasting political capital in this area, given the egregious nature of the offense.
But, you know, here's the interesting point, Joe Davidson, though, the idea of it being an assignment with ways and means. We're talking big money there.
Well, that's true. But I think it's also worth pointing out that another committee assignment that deals with big money is appropriations. And Congressman Mollahan is on the Appropriations Committee and has not stepped aside from that. Mm-hmm. And it's also true that Congressman Jefferson did offer to step aside before the vote last night, but on conditions, and conditions that Nancy Pelosi would not accept. And one of those conditions was that there would be a rule kind of defining when people in his position should step aside. And another condition was that a colleague of his from Louisiana be appointed to that seat, at least temporarily, on the Ways and Means Committee. So, I mean, there's kind of multiple layers here. And it's also true, and I think it must be said, that when you have $90,000 in your freezer, It goes beyond looking bad. So it's a situation where I don't think Congressman Jefferson can come out of this looking good almost no matter what happens.
Yeah, even those who want to defend Congressman Jefferson, and we should say again, all of this at this point is alleged, find it hard to really step up based on the things that we've heard and seen so far. But again, the investigation has not been completed. Now let's turn our attention to the Supreme Court. This, again, is a concern of the makeup of the court for some, who suggest that this makeup of the court may indeed start to chip away at constitutional rights for citizens here. The Supreme Court ruled this week that police can use evidence collected with a warrant, even if officers fail to knock before rushing in. This was a Detroit case where Detroit police called out their presence at a man's door and then went inside within 3 to 5 seconds. Therefore, the suggestion not giving enough time and warning that they, in fact, were coming in. This is looked upon as a test case in looking at previous rulings that police armed with warrants generally knock, announce themselves, and then go in for fear of running afoul of the constitutional amendment, the Fourth Amendment there, unreasonable search and seizure. Jeff Obafemikar.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we talk about the Booker Hudson case and we talk about what happened there and what's on the forefront, we're talking about issues that are important to American people by and large. Particularly, there are reasons why you have that Fourth Amendment. There are reasons why you have knock and announce. There are reasons why you have lawful entry, to give citizens rights. And that's what's in question here. With the war on terror that's being waged supposedly now, the Department of Homeland Security, border immigration issues, all of these things are coming together right now at the Crossroads America's radar screen. We're quickly moving toward what many perceive to be a police state where the general population won't have many rights that the government's going to be duty-bound to respect. We can be searched. We can be seized. We can be tapped. We can be slapped. And human rights can go out the window when either government, law enforcement, or both decide that something or somebody or some issue is a matter of public safety. Wow.
Joe? You know what it was? It was that Jesse Jackson Ryman thing you did that really mesmerized all of us.
It's not a kind of thing. Wow. It's just, but that's what I think we're moving toward. I think it's scary. Well, won't have many rights.
I think that that it's important to note also that the exclusionary rule, which is what is kind of at question here, is not something that is just that has not just come about in recent days. I mean, as you know, Antonin Scalia wrote in his opinion that the common law principle that law enforcement officers must announce their presence and provide residents an opportunity to open the door is an ancient one. And then it was in 1914 that the Supreme Court first announced the exclusionary rule, which says that if some evidence is found by illegal means, then that evidence can be excluded, and in other words, not held against the defendant. And so I think that what you alluded to earlier, Ed, about the changing of the court with the recent appointments by President Bush is clearly is what is indicated here. So you have a situation where a longstanding rule has now been not totally thrown out, but clearly has been weakened, if you will. It's certainly not as strong as it was the day before yesterday, and that is a result of the Bush appointees to the court. I think it's unlikely that had this case been decided when Sandra Day O'Connor was on the court, and she was on the court when it was first heard, that the decision would have been the same.
Tara Settmeyer, you can already hear the left gearing up, not only with rulings like this, but the whistleblower ruling and a couple of others that we've seen this year, with the idea that the prognostication of this court going further right, quote, this is the proof of it.
Well, possibly. I think that, to be fair, this is one of several cases that the Supreme Court has taken on concerning Fourth Amendment rights. And they've gone back and forth contingent upon what the circumstances are. This case, to be fair, to kind of calm the alarmists on the left about that this is going to become a police state and this is our Fourth Amendment rights are being eroded. And this case is about specifically the exclusionary rule. All of the lower courts already acknowledged that the knock and announce aspect of the Fourth Amendment was in fact violated. But the question at hand was whether the full suppression of all of the evidence that the warrant detailed and that whether the warrant was executed properly, is the full suppression of all of that evidence applicable in this case? And the justices felt as though, and the majority ruling said, no, because the exclusionary rule should be applied as a last resort, not as a primary reason to suppress evidence or exclude evidence because of the potential social costs and the floodgates that could be opened up in the criminal justice system if the exclusionary rule is applied too liberally. No pun intended. As far as the other cases, in March they ruled about whether police can enter if one person lives there, says yes, you may enter, and the other person says no. They ruled in favor of the residents. They said no, the police cannot enter. There was another case in May out in a Utah case where police observed teenagers engaged in brawls with adults inside of a home where a party was taking place. They observed it through the window. They announced themselves, but no one could hear them because of the music, and they entered anyway, and the court ruled in favor of the police, saying it was reasonable. So, I mean, this is something, the Fourth Amendment is an integral rule, one of our most basic rights, but this case is not by any means eroding that right.
Well, we hear all the time, Jeff, the idea of this being a living, breathing document, the Constitution and its ability to form with the winds of the world in any given time and space. You brought up an interesting point about the changing world we live in. When you talk to police officers, they will tell you this kind of knock, polite, wait doesn't always work in today's world. And you really do find the idea of whether this is political movement to the right or change in a changing world.
Well, yeah, and you definitely have to make enough allowances for the change in the world to be reasonable. You have to. I did have several friends who are on the police force, and they say that, you know, things aren't always done by the book because the world we live in is not a by-the-book world. But at the same time, you have to make sure that you don't violate constitutional protections. And although this might not seem to be related, all things are related as it relates to, as it goes to the law with human citizens and their rights here. And we're talking about bits and pieces and saying, well, okay, it's okay today for us to say knock and wait 10 seconds. Okay, tomorrow we're going to say knock and wait 4 seconds. Well, we've got the warrant, so we can just barge in. And I'm afraid that if we start giving away too many of our freedoms and not protecting them now, we'll reach a day where if the judge executes a warrant, they can just come in and kick in your door and just not worry about it. I think we open the door for that when we do that.
And if I could add one quick point, in 95, when the court unanimously said that the Fourth Amendment requires knock and announce, they also said, the justices also said, that this is for the protection of the police as well as for the privacy of the residents. Because if someone is just bursting into your home and you don't know they're the police, you might take some action against that person, in your mind in self-defense, not realizing they are police officers. So that's why the justices, that's one of the reasons the justices cited for their unanimous decision in 95.
Right, and as we know, just like when your mama knocks on your door, that knock and announce doesn't always work. She just knocks and simultaneously comes in. So, it's one of those things that until you're out there on the front line, it's hard to sometimes gather all that goes on. We only got to two subjects today. We wanted to talk about six professors, black professors departing Duke University. We'll talk about that on Monday, as well as whether or not corporations like Cristal want to be associated with rappers. Jay-Z feels that is not the case with his favorite drink and is now boycotting it. We'll talk about that as well. So Joe, Tara, and Jeff, greatly appreciate it. Thanks for being
with
us.
Thank you.